Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
How long is your commute? Well, if you're a commuter in the metro areas of New York, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Atlanta, or Seattle, you spend at least 30 minutes on average getting to work. That's according to the latest statistics from the U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey. Now, even with NPR, a long commute can be stressful and time-consuming. It can add wear and tear to your car and the roads. But also, what if it's unnecessary? What if you could just work from home? Joining us now is Scott Mautz. He's a former executive at Procter & Gamble, and he writes about business. Scott, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much. Great to be here, Jeremy.
So how common is it right now in 2019 for people to work from home?
10 million people today work from home, which is about 6% of the workforce. And that's qualified as if you work between 2 to 3 days at home. And if you just work one day, it's even higher than that. So you're up closer to, you know, the 40 to 50 million people are now doing at least one day a week at home these days. So it's really grown in popularity. That's increased. That 10 million is up from 4 million in 2000. So it's growing in leaps and bounds. It's becoming the way of work.
But do you think that there are still a lot of people who are working from the office who could be working from home?
Oh, there is no question about that. And in fact, the number of employers now, you know, let's compare to that. The number of employers that offer the work from home option, it's increased 40% in the past 5 years, but still it's only approximately 10% of all employers offering that. So the upside for working at home is something we're just beginning to tap right now.
Well, why is that? Why are employers hesitant to allow their employees to work from home?
Yeah, my research has found really four core reasons, Jeremy. Number one, a misconception that productivity is going to be lost, and the data simply does not support that. Number two, the leaders have a little bit of the ego at stake. You know, when they don't have all the employees in front of them to lord over, it hits the ego a little bit. It makes them feel like a less perceived real leader. The third is, frankly, from the leader side, a lack of imagination. And the leaders feeling like, yeah, I get you on work from home, but this job can't be done that way. And quite often they're incorrect, unless if it's a sales job where it requires you being literally physically at the customer. Mm-hmm. There are many, many jobs that with some imagination can in fact be done just fine. And then the last thing that holds the leaders and the companies up themselves is technology. They're afraid that they're going to have to make too great of a technology investment to keep the employees connected properly with HQ. Now, there's also another side of the equation of why individuals don't ask more for the flexibility. I can get into that if you want me to, or we can leave that for
Why would an employee not want to ask for that flexibility?
Yeah, it's a two-sided coin. So we went through why leaders don't want to grant it. But we're part of this too, Jeremy. Number one, there's a real factor of FOMO. People fearing that they're missing out, having that valuable face time. We have a fear that if we're not present, our performance isn't perceived as being as high as someone else that might be in the office.
Well, is there something to that, that if you're not there around the managers, that you may not, for example, get promoted?
Companies that are more progressive are getting past that, but there's still some truth to that if the leaders perceive face time as of high value and required. So the fear that employees are feeling in many cases is very, very real, and it keeps them from not wanting to do that. They also miss the social connection. You know, people think like, boy, this option is available to me. That's great, but I really think I'm going to miss my friends. Mm-hmm. And one of the only downsides we see in the data, Jeremy, from working from home is that sense of isolation and loneliness. But there are ways around that. It's a shared issue of why we don't do more of this, both from the employee themselves and the companies.
I mean, I have to say that we have some producers who work from home, and they're incredibly prolific. And in part, that may be because they're not drawn into the daily struggles at the office, and they can just stay focused on the projects that they're working on.
And I'm not surprised to hear that, because when you stop and you look at the data available to us, in almost two-thirds of the cases, every leader that granted the work-from-home option has found productivity has increased by as much as 50%. And there are all kinds of studies now showing that, on average, if you allow an employee to work at home 4 to 5 days a week, you will get back a full day's worth of productivity. Not to mention that turnover decreases on average by 50% when an employer is working from home. You can attract talent. Millennials, 68% of millennials, Jeremy, now say they expect a work-from-home option to be part of the package before they'll sign with a company. Not to mention the reduction in stress. I'm sure your producer friends will tell you their stress goes down on the days that they're working, and they are, in fact, far more productive.
Wow. Now, you talked about FaceTime and the ability to see your colleagues. But the thing is, we spoke with a Harvard Business School professor last year about the fact that in open offices, which a lot of offices are going to these open office plans now to encourage collaboration, that in fact, the employees don't do that at all, that they may put on headphones or they communicate with colleagues who are sitting right next to them via email or instant messaging instead of talking in person.
That is 100% correct. My research has found the same thing. I call it the work-from-home shadow. They try to replicate it almost as if they were at working at home, and they try to shadow that reality. So that's exactly what happens. People try to replicate that. And what we're seeing now is the trend of open office is really starting to implode, and we're seeing more and more companies by the month. They're retracting the open office, and they're going back to either, if you're going to be in the office, people have offices, or they're really going hardcore into enabling work from home. So, yeah, that's 100% correct.
So what's the biggest plus of not allowing work from home, of having your employees in the office? What's the upside?
For sure, it's connection. And this is where most leaders will they'll glean onto this. They'll say, okay, but if my people are always there, if I don't allow that, I have the opportunity, it's easier to build a team. I have more oversight over my people to help them grow. I get more opportunities to see them live, to help them become better versions of themselves. All of that certainly makes a lot of sense, but there's not, there's things you can do to help implement and overcome that. That's why I don't suggest a work from home a regime of 5 days a week. Research is showing us the best option is for roughly 3 days to work from home, and then you allow 2 days in the office so that the leaders that enjoy the benefits of having people in the office that day are able to get that.
Okay, now I don't mean to pile on in the people should be able to work from home direction, but I will say one of the other things that I thought about on this topic is that if more people were working from home, think about how that would change the amount of traffic that exists in our cities and the amount of time that everyone wastes sitting in traffic, getting from home to the office and back home that they could be working.
That is absolutely correct. And in fact, a Commuting in America study has shown us, to your point, Jeremy, half of all people that have to commute hate it. One in five commuters say they would give an entire paycheck if they wouldn't have to commute anymore. And by the way, some of the bigger cities, it's getting to be a real problem. Your hometown city of Boston, that is the worst city out of all the top five worst cities for commutes. 56% of people that commute in Boston say they absolutely hate their commute. Number two on that list is San Francisco. 55% say they hate it. And oh, by the way, in San Francisco, over the lifetime, if you commute 3 to 4 days a week, you're talking about giving up 500 days of your life to commuting. So yes, a lot can be cleaned up if folks don't have to do that. You're helping me make the case for it.
Okay. So do you think that employers are going to recognize this new reality that you're talking about and keep up with the times and allow more employees to work from home, especially if it means better retention rates and better productivity?
I think so, because on top of productivity and retention, and we're starting to see this trend now, companies are starting to do the calculations for themselves on other things like cost savings. On average, a study has shown that we're saved almost $5 billion in just 2018 alone from allowing people to work from home part-time. That means you have less rental space for offices. You don't need as fancy as food preparation needs for people that are in the office. The cost savings is tremendous, in addition, of course, to the ability to attract and retain where people are coming from, so to get into a job. So right now we know we're in the middle of the great talent wars. And I can promise you, greater flexibility is going to be a major weapon in winning the talent wars moving forward. More and more companies are realizing that, that this is now the cost of doing business, Jeremy. It's not just a nice to have that sounds sexy in a company brochure. This is going to have to be a part of the way of work, getting work done moving forward.
That is Scott Mautz, who is a former executive at Procter & Gamble, who writes about business. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
And we want to hear from you. Are you allowed to work from home, and does it improve your productivity and quality of life? Let us know at hereandnow.org. And one more note on this. In Tokyo, Japan, more than 600,000 workers have been asked to work from home starting tomorrow, part of a 2-week trial plan to lighten congestion on public transit ahead of the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. More than 20 million people use public transit there every day, and some transportation experts are worried that the subway system will not be able to handle the influx of Olympic visitors. We'll see how the trial goes.